Joined now, as promised, by Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Not Susan Brown, Susan McGuire
no,
this
the
week.
The other Susan.
The other Susan. The other Susan this week is Susan Brown, because she's not
yeah.
here. So, yeah. First and foremost, Susan number one is here today, as always, talking books here on what has been an extremely hot week. And how does that affect, I don't know if you've been at the library every day for the last couple of days. I know Chapel Hill officials and Orange County officials were getting the word out, you know, municipal buildings are open. If you need to beat the heat, go to the library or other buildings like that because they've got air conditioning. How has traffic been in general?
Well, this is my first summer in Chapel Hill, so I'm not sure if our busyness is related to summer reading.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kids are out of school. So it's been crowded and busy. And I've been running around,
also
trying
very,
to remember
very busy.
Where
yeah,
things are.
Yeah.
And people are asking me questions, and I'm like, I'll try to look smart. Okay.
Has that been successful?
People are leaving happy, right?
I like to tell myself that.
But,
that's the important thing. So,
as long as you look smart.
Yeah, yeah. So what can people do at the library? We got book recommendations coming up in a minute. And we're gonna do cold weather book recommendations. So we've got snowy, Christmassy, wintry recommendations to put you in a cold frame of mind, even with the thermometer hitting triple digits. But what have people been able to do with the library in the last few days?
Well, a lot of people have been working on, you know, various projects on, you know, sitting at the tables with computers or using the public computers because we're air conditioned and we have plenty of seating to come in and read. We have Wi-Fi so you can do whatever you got to do on your own device. And there are plenty of children's programs. There's a lot of story times and things because the kids need activities. Teens can come and enjoy the stuff we have for them in the teen area. And
awesome. So it really is a great place for all ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when it's a week like this, when it's just so hot you can't do anything else. This is a great place to go. You're inside, you're in the air conditioning, and you can spend all day there if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people do. So we've got book recommendations for you. And because my first thought was, well, it's hot out, so we should do books that relate to the hot weather. But no, I don't want to think about the hot weather anymore. I want to think about cold winter, snow, Christmas, December, January, February, because that'll be coming around soon enough. And then we'll talk about hot weather recommendations because we'll be complaining about how cold it is. But
sure, that's the beauty of it.
On a week that we're complaining about how hot it is, we've got cold weather related book recommendations.
I mean, it's not even officially
summer. It's not
summer
even
yet.
Summer. I know. We're like four days away. Yeah. We're talking with Kristen Smith last hour about 4th of July festivities coming up in just a couple of weeks. And like, I don't even want to think about July.
No.
I just really hope this is our summer. And by the time we get to July, it's back down to 80 something. But
yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
I am
not holding my breath, but we'll see.
Put in a good word somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah, to someone. Whoever it is that controls the weather. I guess that's me. I say what the weather is, and then it happens. Except
Make
sometimes,
it so.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. So cold weather book recommendations. What do you got?
Well, I brought a whole bunch.
Ooh,
but
nice.
Let's just start with one.
I've only got three, and one of them I haven't actually read.
Well, we'll see how you do talking about it.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, my first one, I can't actually pronounce the author's first name.
Okay,
but
this
it's
be
called
good.
The Snow Child by, I think it's Ewan Ivy, E-O-W-Y-N. How
okay.
would you say that?
Eowyn?
Sure.
E-O-W-Y-N?
Yeah.
I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm going to say
right.
Eowyn.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds Welsh or Tolkien-ish.
It's something, yeah. Very Tolkien-ish.
So The Snow Child, it takes place in Alaska, and a couple has just moved up there, and they're not able to have a child of their own, and they make a snow child in the snow.
Okay.
Like, I was going to say a snowman, but it's a child.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, they see this blonde girl running around the wilderness, and
oh,
she
wow.
runs around like with a red fox at her side, and seems to think that she's their child. But then, as the winter progresses, you know, they grow attached to her, and they're sort of confused about how she showed up and everything. But
right.
they're happy because they've been wanting a child of their own. And
yeah.
then, it's based on a Russian folktale.
Okay.
And
I like this.
So if you like kind of magic realism, so a realistic kind of book with sort of an extra element of...
Yeah, it's got kind of a beloved feel to it, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, that was maybe actually the first book that I thought of.
Depressing.
And then you said, yeah,
yeah,
hopefully
maybe
a little
like
bit less
Gabriel
depressing.
Garcia
yeah.
Marquez.
Oh,
maybe.
yeah. Okay. Yeah,
but
magic realism in general.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
So, and that also has been very popular with book groups.
Nice. And that's called
that.
The Snow Child?
The Snow Child.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to get the I haven't actually read this one out of the way and say, even though summer is on the way, I want to look ahead 6 months to the day when winter is coming and say, let's just read Game of Thrones and
yeah,
get that out of the way
it.
First. Yeah. That's,
I thought people
winter,
might be
right?
too might be too delicate
yeah.
to talk about that after
after the last
the season
episode.
Finale.
Yeah.
Was it the season finale?
I think it's the season
it's
finale.
It's too violent
I
for
haven't,
me, so
yeah.
I can't watch it because I'm
I haven't,
a baby.
I haven't watched the show because I still have to read the books, and I haven't read the
oh.
books because I think I want to watch the show. And either way, I'm on Facebook,
Catch
so
22.
I know exactly
right.
what happens. Thanks to all of my Facebook friends who are
but
like...
But I think the books are different.
Yes, different
from
enough.
The show.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's getting to the point now where the show is catching up to the books in ways that you don't necessarily know what's going to happen. Like, ooh, this character is dead. Or is he? I don't
right.
know.
Well...
Or something like that.
They took his head off,
sure.
so maybe. But
You know.
But you never know.
You never know.
But yeah, Game of Thrones.
Okay, so...
A cynical snow. That will make you... Maybe that will make you grateful that it's warm.
Yes.
Because you don't have... The snow monsters
the snow
on the
monsters
other side
and,
of the wall.
Yeah, the heat is pretty
that's
dire
how we'll
as it
spin
is.
That
so.
One.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's
Without
my
having read it.
That's my first one. What's your second one?
Okay.
You did bring a long list.
Well, I'm not going to talk about it all.
Okay.
Of them. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to talk about a mystery because
okay.
you know we're talking about dead people, so mm-hmm. why not? this is a series. Yeah.
Yeah.
that's my
a
transition.
Segue.
I
no,
love
it's
it.
Perfect.
I love
yeah.
it. This particular one is called Winter Study by Nevada Barr,
mm-hmm.
and it's a series of the protagonist of the series is named Anna Pigeon, and she's a national park ranger. So mm-hmm. every mystery, she's in a different park, and in this one, she
oh,
is
cool.
in Montana during the off season
because right.
it's winter.
Yes,
and she's working with people who are studying wolves and mice in this national park.
Nice,
and. They find somebody who's been, mauled
okay.
by a wolf, but it's not like a normal uh-huh. wolf. And so there isn't really a supernatural element, although, you know, for a minute people think
you
it
think
is.
There might be, yeah.
And then there's like a sketchy ex-CIA guy who's part of the
because
research
of course.
Team.
Yes, yeah.
And this, I don't think you have to read this series in order, and I say that because I haven't, and it's been fine. So you can definitely pick this one up, and it's a great series because you get sort of like a travel element because mm-hmm. she's going all over the
I
country.
I really like the idea of like going from national park to national park.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And
yeah.
somebody always dies.
Of course.
When she's there.
Yeah.
But, and she's a cool character. Like she's not feisty, which can be a little trying sometimes
yes.
for the reader, but she's very capable. She knows what she's doing. She's sort of no nonsense and
awesome.
You know.
All right. I'm going to go from Montana back a little bit closer to home, and I don't even know how, because I was in Michigan when I think my parents gave me this book or somebody gave me this book for Christmas, and I'm not sure how or why, because it's a very southern book, but it's a book called Christmas Gift by Farrell Sams, who is a fairly well-known southern writer. I haven't read anything else by him, and this is really short, maybe 90 pages long, and it's written in a way that kids can read and enjoy, but it's a very nostalgic look back at traditional family Christmas traditions
mm-hmm.
Growing up in the South in maybe the early to mid-20th century. I'll go 1930s, 40s, something like that, I think. He's writing about his childhood, so go back that far. And it's a really sweet, nostalgic book and very, very short. You can sit down and knock it out in a couple of hours at the most. But really sweet, nostalgic look back at Christmas traditions from years gone by and going out on those occasional southern snows and getting to play outside in those and just Christmas traditions and all of that. So,
the southern snow is always
the southern snow exciting. Is special.
When I was
yeah.
in college, I had a roommate from Nashville and she'd never seen snow falling
yes.
before.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what?
I was in DC and I was working with doing a college internship, and the place where I was interning had like 15 different interns, one of whom was from San Diego.
Oh,
and had
yeah,
never seen
for
snow
sure.
before. So except like on the mountains off in the distance,
right.
sort of snow caps. So she'd seen snow. She'd never seen it falling. So the day that we got our first snow in D.C., she's literally like skipping around outside on the side street, like as pleased and as excited as you could possibly be about the snow. But it was a rough winter in D.C.
yeah.
that year. So 2 weeks later, she comes in like, I hate the snow so
yeah.
much.
She learned how it really is.
Yeah. So that's our second one. What's your third?
Okay, let me give you a different kind of Christmas story.
All right.
This one's called Last Night at the Lobster by Stuart Onan.
I like this already.
Yeah. And it's from 2007. It's actually older than I thought it
okay.
was. But it's about a guy named Manny who is the manager at a Red Lobster in Connecticut. And it's,
Manny the manager?
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. And it's a couple of days before Christmas.
Okay.
And the Red Lobster Corporation has told him that this restaurant is going to be closing down, and he's going to move to the Olive Garden and be an assistant manager. But he takes his job really seriously. Like, he loves his regular customers. He loves the people he works with. He's, in fact, in love with one of them.
Uh-huh.
But they are all... He's spending this time trying to keep their spirits up and trying to get them basically to not tear down the
right,
restaurant before
right.
on the last night there.
Yeah.
And it's just... He's so heroic, but so quiet about it. I mean, it's just a great character study and a great, interesting book.
Is that a novel? Because usually when it's a fictional book, you don't get that specific about what the restaurants are.
Yeah. As far as I know, he didn't get into any legal trouble.
Right.
With
right.
It is a novel. It's a short novel, but it is, you know, it was major. Publisher and
that's
all that
cool.
stuff.
All right.
So.
Last Night at the Lobster. That's mm-hmm. that's the best title I've heard
yeah,
of in a
it's
long
a good title.
Time. Yeah.
He has some good titles.
All right. And I was thinking about sort of wintry outdoor activities in the cold and really thinking about a book or thinking about a piece of literature that really just gets what it's like to be out in the snow in the wintertime and just sort of being out and about. And I couldn't think of anything better than Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, yeah.
Just the whole series Bill Watterson wrote, just all of Calvin's outdoor activities, sledding with Hobbes and the philosophical conversations they have, all of the cool snowmen he
mm-hmm.
builds, or being inside around a fire and actually enjoying it, sipping hot chocolate, and just so much of Calvin and Hobbes takes place in the wintertime with snow on the ground that it's just such a... The snow is as much a character as any of the other sort of minor characters in that series, so I have to shout out for Calvin and Hobbes every
Do
so
it.
Often.
Shout
this
it
is,
out.
This is the opportunity.
And I think that could be fun for parents to share with kids.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
like if you grew up with it and you share it with your kids,
yep.
and then maybe get them excited to go outside and play.
There are a lot of kids who still really, like, that is still such a popular series, even among 8, 10, 12-year-olds, and that's heartening to me, because
yeah.
I think The Far Side, which also ended right around that same time, that has not been remembered in the same way, I don't think, that Calvin and Hobbes. I don't see kids reading The Far Side
maybe
as
didn't
much.
Have, like, an emotional
maybe not,
connection to
know.
It.
But they were both so good, but
yeah.
Far Side maybe doesn't have the same cash among like young kids today as Calvin and Hobbes does, but Calvin and Hobbes has stuck around, and I appreciate that. So yeah,
cool.
All right, so what else you got?
Let me think of one.
All right, you've got a list.
I know. I'm trying
yeah.
to think of which one. Okay, I'll do this one. Is called A Reliable Wife.
Okay.
By Robert Gulrich. I don't have a good segue from Calvin and Hobbes. I'm sorry to tell you.
Speaking of Calvin and Hobbes, The Reliable Wife.
The Reliable Wife. And this one isn't specifically a winter book.
Okay.
But it takes place in Wisconsin, and it does start in the winter.
Okay.
And it's at the turn of the century. And a wealthy man in this rural Wisconsin town puts an ad in the paper looking for a wife for his farm.
All
area
right.
to help him run his farm and his businesses and things like that. And this woman with a dubious reputation from Chicago answers the ad and comes out to Wisconsin. And he immediately is suspicious of her, as is everyone else in the town.
Yeah. Well, she's
but,
from Chicago,
you know,
of course.
She's pretty, so he lets her stay. And she, well, I'm trying to figure out like how much to give away, but it's just it's really emotionally very interesting story,
okay.
And it moves along really fast. And these two people are so like their heads say one thing, but then the way they act toward each other is so different from I don't know. It's just
okay.
A great interesting story of two
like
people's
it.
Interactions and you know.
All right, and that one's called The Reliable
Snow.
Wife.
A reliable wife. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So so check those out. All available, I assume, at the Chapel Hill Public Library. And you can go there anytime and beat the heat this week and pick up a snow, cold, winter, Christmas weather novel and just sort of engross yourself in that and forget that it's 105 degrees out there right now.
Yes.
All right.
Do it.
Susan McGuire, thank you so much. Pleasure as always.
Thanks.